Megan Fun of Sports is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. You must be 21 or older. Hello, everybody, and welcome on into this week's edition of Megan Fun of Sports. The Super Bowl is over, which means football is over. And don't you worry, because Megan Gailey, my co-host, and I are here to break it all down for you. Megan, what's happening?
We'll break down all the really important stuff. I'm good. How are you? I am looking at you, and you're eating a bowl of cottage cheese. I believe you have a Bulls shirt on.
Yes. Okay. This was a new purchase this weekend at a little vintage shop.
Scotty and Jordan hugging. Who knows if they would be doing that now. And then behind you, you've got sort of a green screen effect, and it is Eagles coach Nick Sirianni sobbing. I mean, really, I have an audition today, and I'm like, I need some of these national anthem lovers to coach me, because they get those tears flowing.
Yes. We're going to talk about Nick Sirianni and if crying before the game was a good thing to do or a bad thing to do. But we are wishing you all of the luck on your audition. Not that you need it, but we are wishing that.
You're supposed to say break a leg. Okay. I did find it funny because there were definitely people crying during the national anthem. None of them were black. Really struck me as hilarious. Like they'd cut to like Mahomes and he'd be looking around like, I don't know why these guys are crying.
I get it. It is an emotional moment. We can talk more about that when we get into our Super Bowl discussion, but we will start the show the way we always start the show with our morons of the week. Megan, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so mine is from a little moment in the Super Bowl. They cut to the stands. You know, they got to show us who's there, what's going on. They cut to the stands and they showed Roger Goodell sitting next to Kelsey Mama, sitting next to Damar Hamlin. And I thought, don't make those three people sit together. And I'm sure it was just like, hey, they're cutting to us. We've got 2 minutes and 19 seconds to go till halftime. Let's get everybody in their seats. But it was just such a like, here's the mascots of this Super Bowl, that I'm like, show Damar with his like friends and family having a nice time. Show Mama Kelsey, like, I don't know, praying a rosary for her boys. Goodell kissing Rupert Murdoch's head. Like, let's get them doing what they'd really be doing. And like, this is not the trio that I think is naturally gravitating towards each other. So I just thought it was like kind of the NFL being a little too heavy-handed with their like, look, everybody likes each other.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually commented on it live when I was watching it. And I said, you think they're really sitting together, or where they're like, hey guys, we got a shot, we're going to halftime, let's get these three together, and after that, you guys can all go your separate ways. There's no way that Mrs. Kelsey was sitting next to Roger Goodell and Damar Hamlin during the game. And there's no way Damar sat next to Goodell for the whole game either.
No, and Damar was sitting there not talking, and it's like, let him have fun.
Exactly. Love that moron. My moron of the week is Jesus. Because
He's been a lot on commercials.
Yes, and that is exactly why he is my moron of the week. And some of these commercials really did pull at your heartstrings. And then you see the black logo and it's like, Jesus saves all. And I was like, all right, I'm out now. I'm out.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Because it's like, I just think we know if we want to be in on Jesus or not. And there was a lot of criticism about how much was spent on these commercials, where it's like, well, I think Jesus probably would have, you know, maybe fed children with that money,
or that's what I was mad
built
about.
Some like, homes is, that were needed post-natural disasters.
I mean, that just shows you how much trouble religion is in if they're spending that much money on advertising.
Well, and then it also, it's like, who was spending that? It wasn't the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is not buying Super Bowl ads. They have Hummers to buy for the Pope's guard. And so their money is spent. They go, we got the Sistine Chapel. That's its own Super Bowl ad. So I'm like, who is the one does Jesus have a PR team? Like, I guess we're offering that up as a potential SNL sketch to show us like the Jesus ad room, how
also,
that all
maybe,
comes together.
You know, we've been waiting a long time for Jesus to come back. So maybe now they're starting to let us know, like, hey guys, he's coming soon. So maybe build the anticipation to Jesus's big return. Eddie, do you have a more on this week?
I do. Mine's way kind of out of left field. We're not really talking about college football right now. We're talking about pro football, Super Bowl. But this is just grinding my gears because it deals with the school that I root for, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They obviously had the head offensive coordinator position open. Tommy Rees goes to Alabama to be coach under Nick Saban. A guy clearly wants an NFL job. Don't really fault him, besides the fact that he played quarterback at Notre Dame. But besides the point, Notre Dame is kind of zeroing in on Andy Ludwig, offensive coordinator of Utah. Utah had a great season, obviously beat USC in the Pac-12 championship game, lost the Rose Bowl to Penn State. They wanted him to come in there. He's like at a hockey game with Coach Freeman. They're taking pictures. It seems like it's a done deal. The university will not pay the buyout, like somewhere between $2 and $4 million for him to come coach at the school. And the problem with this is not necessarily like that he is the, you know, be all end all of offensive coordinators, but it just shows again, this is the reason why Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to go to LSU is because Notre Dame does not put the school's team as a priority. They're cheap. They only care about the academic.
And they have so much money. They have so much money. This actually, it's not out of left field, Eddie.
It's not because you're talking about Jesus.
Maybe they take some of that money from Jesus and pay a man who's actually alive.
I would love it if the students of Notre Dame all went to church because they have that beautiful... beautiful
touchdown
church
on Jesus.
Yeah, where no, that's the library. The church is, I forget what it's called. This is escaping me right now. Anyways, they should all go and throw an extra like $100 in the little collection basket and put notes on it like this is for our offensive coordinator.
Tuition is $31,000. Oh no, it's more than that.
I was going to say, it's probably double. Yeah, probably
I think I was looking at a high school. Tuition is close to $60,000.
That sounds so more it's like it.
So what do we get? 10 students together and we paid it.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, for a coordinator, that's like head coach money, you know, somewhere between $2 and $4 million a year. I get that from, you know, you don't want to be paying just to buy it out, not even for his contract. I understand. In terms of the grand scheme, like of what coaches make is a lot, but you know, the school has plenty of money, but the biggest issue is you can get a Brian Kelly 2.0 situation with Freeman, especially this is a year Notre Dame's going to be really good this year. Like they brought in Sam Harmon, they have a really good squad. I just can't see a scenario where they finish outside of the top seven. I think they have a real shot at being a playoff team this year. And the final piece is to make sure you have that offensive coordinator role to help, you know, the all-time ACC passing leader in Harmon. And you can't nail that down. What makes Freeman not go, okay, well, this job is opening up. I'm going to go
this
there.
Place it's doesn't that because prioritize. This doesn't back us.
And that's what all Notre Dame fans are really upset about. The school does not prioritize this stuff. The AD should be fired. Like I swore brick. Every beat writer is slamming against them. I have friends texting me. They're like, I was planning on going to games this year, and I have no desire to go to them because like the school doesn't care. So why should I? So this is a real bad thing, and that's why Notre Dame easy morning of the week.
You guys know this about me. I'm a pot stir. I love to just like drop a couple bombs here and there. So my father is a diehard Notre Dame fan. My sister is a Notre Dame alum, and they're texting about this whole situation in our family group chat. And I just threw out the question, is Notre Dame a stepping stone job? And then they both
100% got
panicked, and I
exited
the conversation immediately. Just a little bomb right there.
But like, I'm not even trying to be mean. I think it is. They're not in a conference, and you got to be in a you got to be in the SEC. Like that's just what it is. I find cheapness to be a character flaw. I despise it in people. And I'm not talking about like, oh, I have a budget so I can. No, when you have the money and you pinch and you tip poorly and you don't take care of the people that work for you, I go, you are bad and I don't want you around. Okay? Thank you. Megan, give us your mensch this week.
So this is interesting, and I know you all are going to gasp when I say what my mensch of the week is or who my mensch of the week is, but just hear me out on it. My mensch of the week are the Eagles players and coaching staff. Now, okay. I understand I say this with a picture of Nick Sirianni right behind me, and he is crying, and I'm clearly making fun of him. But I think that they deserve to be the mensch of the week for the way they handled the situation that happened in the last call of the Super Bowl. So we all saw it. It was an atrocious call. James Bradbury. However, James Bradbury came out to the media and admitted, yeah, I was tugging him. Nick Sirianni says in his closing remarks, listen, there's a lot of calls that contribute to the game. We were outplayed today. So I think Sirianni immediately went into that locker room and said to his guys, listen, we're nipping this in the butt. We are not being sore losers. We are not blaming this on a call. Which for people who live in Philadelphia, this
not gonna be easy.
Groundbreaking.
There is no high road in Philadelphia. It's only low roads.
Exactly. So this is groundbreaking. It shows that Sirianni completely has control of the locker room. He completely has control of his coaching staff. Because while the local Philadelphia media, they weren't so great with it, there was a lot of outlandish takes. Nick Sirianni and his locker room, the Eagles players and coaching staff, handled it. Mwah! Chef's kiss. And way to not be sore losers and way to not take away the moment from the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, who had a very gutsy performance.
And we talk a lot about the refs. All of it bad. I can't really remember a time when, maybe when the gal with the pretty blonde ponytail, love her. But the truth is, do games end up being decided by one call? Not actually, because there is such a massive amount, like, do they influence the game? Yes. Is that unfortunate? 100%. But, like, the guy came out and he's like, I did grab him. So sometimes you get away with that and sometimes you don't. And that, I think, is what's frustrating, is that there really seems to be no consistency. But I think that's by design. Like, I think there's no consistency because they can end up seeing it in the moment and the context. And did I warn them? Whatever. Okay. So I agree with you. I think they, I wouldn't be able to do it. So I commend them. I'd be like, we would have won. We would have won. I would have won. I am the greatest. I should be president. I should be empress. And it's all that one thing. And it's like, I bet you probably missed some tackles earlier in the game.
I love it. None of them were complaining. So that is a great job by the Eagles locker room. And now the fans, not so great in Philly. They were rioting, but they would have rioted if they won anyways. So
they would have been rioting even if they weren't in the Super Bowl. They just love to burn. Yeah. Okay, my mensch of the week. I went to see 80 for Brady last week. I got a group of 12 people together. Megan, Eddie, it's incredible. And I know we had been like making fun of it. I thought it was laugh out loud funny. I had so much fun. There were non-sports fans there to diehard sports fans. All of us walked out of it going, that was really good. Like, it's not an Oscar winner, but it's fun. It's feel good. And the gals are having the best time. There are joke runs in it that are like chef's kiss, next level. I truly thought it was so good, and I highly recommend it.
So we are going to spend, we have a tough stretch here, right? We have 4 weeks until Selection Sunday. There's not a lot of sports happening. Obviously, we have the news that Tiger Woods is making his return to the golf course. We'll get a little bit of mileage out of that. Megan always has random tennis here and there, but as a little treat for you all, we are going to do a full podcast where we do an 80 for Brady review.
And, okay, so that's a little teaser.
To see the movie before we do that.
Little teaser. And you know what? As I was watching it, because they do have game footage in it, and it's a wonderful NFL commercial. I didn't see you, but I looked for you. As you're watching the game footage, they could call holding on every play. Like, I'm watching and they're showing these like great plays. I go, that's holding. That's holding. That's holding. Like, just to circle back to my point of, like, these calls, they come and go, they come and go.
I love how we're making full circle movements today. Like, we brought Eddie's back to Jesus. We brought 80 for Brady back to the refs. I love all of this. We need to give a quick congratulations shout out to our
Heineken. We got to get Eddie's mensch.
Oh, sorry, Eddie, I forgot. I'm just, like, rolling here. Eddie, do you have a mensch?
Yeah, just quickly, obviously, a large number of Extra Points crew were in Phoenix for the week. I have to just give a shout out to the Caesars, but the Omaha staff for helping us. We had a great week of content. We did daily videos, Super Bowl related videos. Megan, you had one with the sidekick. We have Harry catching a ball from Joe Montana, the Harry prank, the sales prop video, David Media Night. Without them, that wouldn't have been possible. And then obviously our content from Radio Row and our awesome set, the Caesar set in the corner of Medium, where they did a fantastic job. None of that stuff would have seen the light of day without the help of them, and they made everything go smoothly, and we're all very, very proud of the content. So great Super Bowl week. So thank you, Omaha Caesar staff, and obviously Toby, Sal, and the rest of EP put that all together.
Amazing.
Awesome. I love that mensch. And it really was fun to watch from afar, too, and just watch how far extra points – how much extra points has grown really in the last year. I know last year around the Super Bowl, we did the Kappa Consequences where someone had to drink Scott, Harry's brother, his bath water.
Why would you remind me?
This year we did another contest and we had double the amount of participants in this contest. So we are really growing. We appreciate you all and, spread the word. We're over here at Extra Points making some funny content for you all.
The two Megans, we were a little in our feelings about not being there. I was actually thrilled. I was very tired. There was no way I could have done it. My husband was out of town. And a special shout out to other Megan, because I do think fate intervened and it was right we weren't there. My son did walk last week. If I had been in Arizona, I would have kicked myself in my own head.
We weren't meant to be there. Also, he's only 9 months and he's walking. You guys, we are gamblers in this audience of Extra Points. Put some futures on Conrad Gailey Toledano.
Did I say Toledano? Right?
Toledano. All right.
Conrad Gailey Toledano.
Mm-hmm. Toledano, first round pick.
You said it really Chicago. Hey, Toledano. Okay, now we can get into the Heineken prop quiz challenge. Results winner was Blair Dills. That sounds like a gal to me. So big ups to Blair. The loser was Jesse Linger. Jesse only got 5 right. Will have to face the cap of consequences.
And what is exciting about this is Jesse does not live too far from me in Florida. So I am going to be involved in delivering cap of consequences to Jesse. Just wait. He will be appearing on Against All Odds this week. And we will find out Jesse's fate. Also, a shout out to Eddie and his team, Waiver Wired. They won the Extra Points Fantasy Playoff League.
But we came in third. Megan, we came in third.
And we scored exactly 420 points.
And I liked our team. So we're on the podium. We're getting the bronze. We're getting the 420 treats. And we're feeling good about that.
And our very own brother, Bri, he won the Extra Points Picks Contest. Us here at Megan Fun of Sports, including Eddie, we didn't do so hot. Real quick before we take a break and dive into all the important headlines around the Super Bowl, we just have to give a little shout out to our guy, Tiger Woods, who is making his return this weekend. I read a little bit about him today. It sounds like
you'd never heard of him before.
I just read about
this Tiger. Is it Tiger Woods? Okay.
Who is this Tiger guy? Well, I was reading about his return this morning. He didn't have a great golf season last year, but obviously it's been... almost 2 years to the day now that he faced a life-threatening car accident. Yes. So Tiger is back now. He says that he wouldn't have entered the tournament if he didn't believe he could compete to win.
There we go.
Still dealing with plantar fasciitis and some ankle tenderness, I will call it.
Okay.
But obviously, the world of golf is a more exciting place when Tiger Woods is on the golf course, so we will all be glued to our TVs watching this weekend.
Golf is going to have to do some heavy lifting in this bridge to getting us to baseball. Golf and basketball, we're rooting for you. Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we will, cannonball into all of our Super Bowl thoughts.
The thing about Caesars Sportsbook, it's not just an app. It's your key to a whole empire. Hotels, casinos, restaurants, shows, Caesars Palace. I'm sure you've heard of it. Every bet you place with Caesars Sportsbook brings you closer to perks only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays at iconic destinations, app bonuses, merch, show tickets, and many more Caesars rewards perks. So get started today. Register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a bet credit.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
I think headline, really good game. And we're not used to a good game. One of the extra points questions was, is it going to go over? Which I believe was 50. And I was like feeling a little aggressive because I thought it was going to be 31-28. And they blew right on past that. So a high scoring game, I do think, is good for the viewers.
Of course, it was a highly entertaining football game. I know a little bit of momentum was taken out of the game because of that last call. It maybe wasn't that exciting moment of less than 2 minutes left, quarterback with the ball in their hands, they have a chance to win. We had some kneel downs, obviously. The field goal sealed the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. But I was nervous for that field goal, especially mm-hmm. because he missed one earlier in the day.
And because his name is Butker. And so you just go, oh boy, I hope this guy is okay. You know, we don't know the emotional toll that took on him as a child.
So we hit on this a little bit in the Morons and Mentions of the Week. And I just had to ask you, point blank, did the pass interference call on James Bradbury cost the Eagles the Super Bowl?
No. I think what cost the Eagles the Super Bowl was their inability to contain an injured Patrick Mahomes. Like, all we had heard is this defensive line, they get after the quarterback. It was number one offense versus number one defense. And in the first half, they really did it. And the Chiefs defense couldn't tackle. I was like, I feel like I'm watching a Colts team. I mean, they were missing so many tackles. And I think Mahomes later said that they were maybe playing a little tight, a little too mm-hmm. anxious. But I think the Eagles defense just gave up too much. And that's what actually cost them the game.
The second half for the Chiefs was phenomenal. Patrick Mahomes didn't have an incomplete pass. And really, I think the 26-yard run, I believe it was, yeah. on third down, for me, that's a career moment for Patrick Mahomes. I think when
and he all looked gimpy, and done, too. Like, yes. It's not, he looked like, I don't know, me running.
When all is said and done, and this guy goes into the Hall of Fame someday, that will be a play that's part of the montage. Like, this was a defining play of Patrick Mahomes' career. And really, when you look at the time of possession, when we hit halftime, I was like, oh my God, the Chiefs got to get the ball.
They're getting their kicked. That's
they
how it felt.
They really need to get the ball. So watching what they did in the second half, that's what cost the Eagles the game. They could uh-huh. not stop this Chiefs offense in the second half. And now Patrick Mahomes wins his second Super Bowl 5 years as a starter. He's been to 5 AFC title games, 5 AFC West titles, 5 straight 12-plus win seasons, 5 straight Pro Bowls, 2 Super Bowl wins, and 2 Super Bowl MVPs, and he is only 27 years old.
He's obviously a generational talent. I think catching Brady seems like it'll be nearly impossible, but he's on track to be surpass Peyton. He already has Super Bowl-wise. What do you think teams that, because he was not the number one overall pick. He was not that exciting and heralded out of college. And we heard last week, even the Bears said they were going to draft him and then didn't and drafted Mitch Trubisky. Oh, what do you think, like, did they just not trust him? I mean, how did teams miss on him?
I think Bears fans, that's going to be their biggest regret forever. And I know Bears fans should. That talk about that all the time is that they didn't draft Patrick Mahomes. I think that's something that we'll always be asking. And maybe, you know, Brady, he wasn't drafted till the sixth round, and that's a chip he carries on his shoulder to this day. Maybe this is something for Patrick Mahomes that he also carries with him. Because when you reach that level, You need something to motivate you, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
Look, we just read those stats. They're overwhelming. He's the best. How does
anything Michael Jordan used to invent things to motivate him. And I guess even as I'm like asking that question, you go, what if he had gone to the Bears? Would he be as successful? Probably not. Just because they don't have the system of success put in place there. So some of that credit probably does need to go to Andy Reid and Alex Smith to some extent to be like teaching him how to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Andy Reid, absolutely. And I think like what they did in the second half really defines what this Chiefs team has always done. I remember being at the AFC Championship game when the Patriots played the Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium. That was the D Ford offsides overtime game call that ultimately sent the Patriots to the Super Bowl. But the Patriots dominated the first half. And then all of a sudden, the second half, the Chiefs make their adjustments. And to me, that's Andy Reid. That's Andy Reid and his coaching ability to figure things out and adjust quickly like they did. And when those adjustments happened, it was halftime in the locker room and we were all jamming out to Rihanna and her halftime show. I was a little bummed that she didn't open with SOS because I had listened to so much Rihanna all week that I was completely convinced. However, the best moment of the show was when she sang Diamonds. And
it
that was
incredible.
That was something I pretty much predicted here on Megan Fun of Sports, that she would be raised up like a diamond.
I thought the visuals were astounding. Like seeing her on that wobbly platform, and luckily we knew she, but it didn't, like, she was sort of like strapped in with just one cord. I'm like, oh my God, I get afraid on like the team building ropes cord. Like when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's, and on top of it, just to be pregnant. Rihanna and I had a baby around the same time. Okay, so I'll speak on this. I'm clearly in her shoes.
So Rihanna just had a baby 9 months ago.
Yes, and now must be
pregnant again.
And we don't know how far along. I'm guessing she's at least 12 weeks. I'm guessing somewhere between 12 and 16 weeks. She is showing. You show a lot sooner on your second one. She did the belly rub. I, as a woman who just had a baby, when people were like, she's pregnant, I was like, no, she is not. She is highlighting that the postpartum body does not snap all the way back. Like, I thought it was this
larger
piece on women's bodies.
Because when we're watching, you know, I'm so afraid to say like, oh, somebody is pregnant.
And that's the correct instinct. That's the correct instinct. We should all be afraid to comment on a woman's body, especially whether she's pregnant or not. So I think it's okay that we were all like, she did rub the belly, but like, I don't know. She's cool. She may just be like, this is my post baby. But I don't even know. I was going to say gut and then I was going to say belly. And then I was like, I don't want to say either one of them. So my post baby treasure.
I'm glad because I said to Andrew several times while watching this, she's pregnant, right? She's pregnant, right? Is she pregnant? And then he's like, I don't know. And I didn't want to assume
him
again.
Good for him. Good for
and
you.
And it went on Twitter. Obviously, she was pregnant. This was, I don't want to go too far on this, but I think this was really a iconic moment for women, right?
Absolutely.
As someone in front of the camera for work, I think about daily, oh my God, when I decide to get pregnant, when I decide to have kids, is that going to ruin my career? Are they going to take me off TV? Are people going to look at me differently? Am I not going to get as many opportunities because people will say, oh, she has a baby? So to see Rihanna perform on the largest stage while pregnant, I think just was a message that, hey, women can and we will do those types of things. So thank you, Rihanna, from all of us gals out here who were very excited to see you do your thing with your beautiful pregnant belly at the Super Bowl.
I really thought the dancers were so great in the white puffs. I have seen people, I think, be comically critical. And I know it's jokes, but be like, yes, girl, give us nothing, or she phoned that in. And I keep seeing those comments, and those are from people that have never been pregnant. And first of all, I don't ever think Rihanna was like a Janet Jackson dancer. That's not like, she is a vibe. She is an energy. I thought like all of the choreography was very good though. Like, yes, is she down like doing the J-Lo hustlers? No, but that's not who she is anyways. So, I mean, you guys can cut this out of the podcast if you want. When she put her hand on her vagina and then smelled it and smiled, I go, this is incredible. I mean, that's amazing. But to be to be out of bed. I was in bed the first 3 months I was pregnant. Like, you are sick. You are exhausted. And we don't talk about it enough. It is so difficult. It is so painful. I went to the emergency room to get fluids because I could not keep food or drinks down for over 12 hours and I was going to pass out. Like, your body is going through so much. People have to take medical leave during their first trimester because they're so sick. So for her to be upright doing anything is impressive. I do not think it was a phone it in. I think it was very calculated and specific. Yes, she's a billionaire and there was Fenty product placement, but men do this all the time. Like, I say give her her flowers, and the choreography that she did do was so amazing. I also love how it was just choruses. I'm like, we don't need any of the filler. Give us the hits. Give us the choruses. She goes, lift me up. I'm not even doing it. And I would have loved it. I would have been like, Black Panther, here we are. But she really gave us so many hits. She kept it so tight. She looked beautiful. I do think she was having fun. I think she also was like, you guys say I haven't been doing anything? Here, I'm doing something. And it was really... not an F you, but definitely a wink and a smile.
Of course. And to your point, we don't talk about it enough. You and I are both gals. We're both women. That's obviously no secret. But I've been a woman my whole life, and no one has ever told me what happens to you when you get pregnant. So hearing from you the first time that people have to take medical leave, I'm like, what? I'm gonna struggle with this? This is something I'm one day going to endure? I think this is... to your point, something that is not talked about enough. So seeing Rihanna do what she did, really, it meant the world to me. And I know there were a lot of other gals out there who felt similarly.
Yeah, because, like, again, Rihanna's a billionaire and I'm sitting in my house I can barely afford. But a great equalizer is pregnancy. Like, you cannot buy your way out of morning sickness. You cannot buy your way out of hypermesis, whatever it's called. You know, like, Kate Middleton struggled, had to be hospitalized to it. So medical things really are an equalizer. And I think anyone who's ever been pregnant, aspires to be pregnant, goes, oh, this was a big deal.
Yes. We also have to give a shout out to Justina Miles, who became the first deaf female to provide American Sign Language interpretation during a Super Bowl halftime performance. If Killed you it. Watch the video of this gal, she is electric. I could watch her perform all day. The facial expressions, the body language, she was outstanding. So Justina, thank you to you. And I also have a little bone to pick with my celebrity crush, Paul McCartney, who faked out the entire world. I felt like I had an inside scoop here. Eddie, who was on site reporting live from Arizona, gave us a little tip that Paul McCartney was going to be at Bianco Pizzeria, which is obviously the best pizza in the world. Shout out Chris Bianco. And it is located in Arizona. Eddie told us that Paul McCartney was going to be there. I know that he has a house in Arizona. I was like, of course he would perform with Rihanna. They have the song that they do together. He's 1,000% going to be there. He's not just going to fly in to get pizza and go home. So I was looking everywhere to place this prop bet. Turns out you can only place it in Canada. I did text my Canadian friend to see if she could get somebody to put the bet in for me. It didn't work out. I never got the bet put in, but I was looking forward to seeing Paul. And I saw him, but not during the halftime show. So, Paul, way to just dupe out the whole world.
Yeah, I like that she didn't bring anyone out because she didn't need to. So it's like, I'm here. I'm enough as Rihanna. Chris Stapleton's anthem hit the under. I missed my best friend was in town. She loves Chris Stapleton. I was trying to get us to the party in time to see the anthem. I was a single mother last week. And I had to wake Conrad up from a nap, and he was very upset. And so we missed the anthem. We watched it afterwards, and I did think it was good.
We should have known the under was going to hit. I feel like a country guy really respects the country. It's not going to take
doesn't do that. That's why I always think it's going to hit the over, because I'm like, oh, they're going to get to red glare.
LeBron James, who just set the all-time scoring record for the NBA, was shown at the Super Bowl, and he got booed at the game. Come on, you guys.
I don't like that.
Give the guy just like a month to not get booed. Just one. Like,
but like,
one
why are, what do Eagles or Chiefs fans have against him? Like, I just don't.
I blame the Eagles fans. This definitely was not the Chiefs.
Of course,
fans.
Because
the
they
Kansas
also
City people are so nice.
The Eagles fans also booed Dak Prescott while he was getting the Walter Payton Man of the Year. And honestly, it made me go, now I'm really rooting for the Chiefs. I just think if someone is getting an award for their philanthropy, like, you just kind of, like, also Dak Prescott is, like, one of the least offensive people on the planet. Like, so nice, seems like a good guy, is winning the award for being the best charitable man in the NFL. Can't you just, like, step out and get a hot dog during that time? I'm not even saying you have to cheer him, but to boo him?
The Eagles fans are really the worst. I'm surprised. There's definitely batteries being thrown in Philadelphia somewhere today, and probably every day for the rest of the year, because it is Philadelphia. Megan, did any commercials stick out to you?
Zero, actually. The only thing that stuck out to me, I was also having to take care of a child in a party setting, and there was a lot going on. I had to change a poopy diaper during the Super Bowl. Okay, so there were, like, Conrad tried chips for the first time. He was trying to spill everything. Like, I was having my own Super Bowl. I was playing defensive and offensive tackle to my own son. The only thing that stuck out to me commercial-wise was that there were so many mega-famous people in them, and I was thinking, we need the commercials, okay? I have a mortgage, so I don't need A-listers hawking these goods. Let me, little old Indiana girl next door, sell all the goods.
My favorite commercial was the one with the guy from Succession.
Megan didn't see it? They were like a total afterthought to me.
In my opinion, that was the best commercial. The worst commercial was the Bass Pro Shop commercial. Lacked creativity, seemed very random. I'm also not quite sure how Bass Pro Shop had the budget to do.
Oh, I think Bass Pro Shop does well. I once performed in a town that has, like, a Bass Pro Shop that people call the museum. Like, I think they're doing well. I do have a question. Did the Budweiser horses, were they in a commercial?
Nope.
I love them this year.
Apparently, they had like a monopoly on the commercials. So now, like, Bud Light and Coors and all of the others, they're getting into.
Coors can get horses. Why can't they get in on the horse game? PETA says only so many commercial horses. Oh,
yeah,
stinky.
PETA probably had a problem with it. All right, we have to get elsewhere in the NFL. You have a new head coach, and you should be pretty excited, especially after watching that offensive output, because the Colts hired Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen?
Sure.
How do you feel about the name Shane?
I feel nervous that all of my happiness lays in the hands of a 37-year-old white man named Shane. That definitely gives me pause. It sounds like someone who cheated on me in a past life, but I'm happy it's not Jeff Saturday, and I say that with love to Jeff Saturday. Now, I think more than ever, we can say, Jeff, we love you, and you are such a good guy, a Hall of Famer, and I think if you want a coaching job, you should start as an offensive line coach and kind of work your way up the classic way. This feels very deja vu. We hired Frank Reich from the Eagles as their offensive coordinator, and I loved Frank. I don't know a lot about this guy. I still think it's strange that some other black coaches have not been hired. I think the fact that Jim Caldwell doesn't have a job is crazy. And I know he's been our coach before. He did take us to the Super Bowl.
I've been thinking a lot about the Bieniemy thing. And there's a lot of rumors out there that he has some skeletons in his closet from his days in college and whatnot. And I think it's sort of reached the point for Bieniemy. Obviously, there's skeletons there, right? Like, if he ever wants a job, like, release the skeletons. Like, get out ahead of it. Tell us what it is. Deal with it. And then you can get your job, because every year he keeps getting passed over and it doesn't really make any sense. Now, I know the Eagles are one of the organizations that Andy Reid still calls all the plays, allegedly. So maybe that's hurting him. Maybe he's a guy who doesn't interview well.
You mean the Chiefs?
The Chiefs. Oh, sorry. The Eagles. Whatever. You know what I meant.
Yeah, I think the idea that there's skeletons in his closet is not, you know, hasn't been verified. So it's very alleged. But so have a lot of these other white guys that have been hired. Like, you and I were talking about this, and there's a specific coach, I'm not going to say who it is, who was indicted by a grand jury on a horrific charge, and he's gotten a head coaching job. So it's, even if there are, it, you still have to look at it and go, this is a black man who has not gotten a job, and these are white men who have way less of a resume than he does, and they've gotten a job. And to me, skeletons or not, I think it's a race thing. And I think it's going to be proven in a court of law, it is too, and they're going to have some money to owe. The NFL, that is.
We will see what happens with that. Elsewhere, the Cardinals hire Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon as their new head coach. So both defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator.
That seems stressful. Like, Nick Sirianni's like, oh, okay, I guess I just lost the Super Bowl and I got to hire two new best friends?
Okay. Ooh, boy. Well, yesterday was Valentine's Day.
Yay, and happy Valentine.
Happy Valentine's Day. A.J. Brown and Juju Smith Schuster got into a little tiff on Twitter. Did you see this?
I did see it. I actually DM'd it to you last night because I did want to talk about it. I have since seen that it was, they were Valentine's from that account, NFL Memes, which
I love that account.
It really does brilliant work. I don't agree with all of it, but I would say 90% of it is really, really funny. And so Juju was sharing something that someone else had created. I do think it was too soon. I do think it was salt in the wound. The guy has come out and said, yes, I did. Like, but then AJ Brown hit him back in a way that also felt below the belt. And it was just like, it just seemed so silly.
So for those who haven't seen it, though, let's tell him AJ Brown, he clapped back at Juju and basically just called him, you haven't caught anything until you joined you became a TikTok star. He was calling Juju Smith
TikTok boy.
TikTok boy. And AJ, you know, TikTok boy or not, he won a Lombardi trophy. So that's,
and he's good.
Yes. So these two, to your point, right, too soon.
I think AJ could have been like, hey, this is below the belt, and not then also insulted him. Because it's like, you're being insulting, so I'm going to insult you. It's very, I know you are, but what am I? It felt childish. But, you know, fun for us to get to talk about. Derek Carr informed the Raiders he would not accept a trade, and then he was released on Tuesday. So he is looking for a home. He was very funny at the Pro Bowl. So if he wants to get into stand-up comedy, there's always a big demand for clean comics, and I know that he could do the Jesus circuit. Mm. Also, it appears Aaron Rodgers has left his dark room already because he was blasting Schefter and Rappaport on Pat McAfee, saying that they are not part of his inner circle. No one in his inner circle speaks to them. So if they have info on Aaron Rodgers, it's not from... He is so annoying. I'm like done. Yeah. He's so...
So what was he doing? He was going into a black room for how many days?
4 days.
4 days?
And it's like, really, you came out more annoying? You came out more annoying. Like, he... You know what you were saying about Brady? Oh, like, he retired, he takes the spot... It's worse with Aaron Rodgers.
I agree.
Because he's doing, like, dumb things. It's just, like, take 2 weeks off from the media cycle. Like, you don't like the media. You're the one who consistently goes on these shows and kicks up drama, though. He's one of those men that are like, oh, I hate women. They're drama. And then is, like, the biggest gossip you've ever met in your life.
I could not agree more with this. Aaron, it's Schefter and Rappaport. These guys have sources if they're going on about
something. They're reporters.
It's been confirmed. I think Rodgers is the type of guy who leaks the information and then walks back.
Your inner circle seems to be constantly changing because you have a new wackadoo girlfriend every 2 weeks. So, like, maybe your inner circle is leaky.
Maybe you should investigate some of those people. Okay, next year's Super Bowl, we already have odds. And the Chiefs are the favorites, plus 550. Then the 49ers, lots of questions with who their quarterback will be, plus 600. The Bills, plus 650. Eagles, plus 800. Bengals, plus 900. That's where I would put my money. And the Cowboys, plus 1600.
Yeah, the AFC just seems like it's still going to be good. Maybe even getting better if the aforementioned annoying man goes to the Jets. And the NFC still seems inferior. I say that with love. So it's an easier path there. But there is just so, there's so much time between now and then and so many different things that could happen that I'm willing to say Colts. No, I'm kidding. I couldn't even like get through it.
It's okay because this time last year we were like, oh, the Colts got a shot at the AFC title. The Colts are definitely going to be in the Super Bowl. So a lot changes. We could see a lot change.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for the Colts to draft a player with the same name as my husband, maybe.
I like that. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to catch you up on all things basketball.
Okay, so we are back. Last week's NBA trade deadline, I really do not remember. I don't know if it was like tons of trades, but the blockbuster. Like, I forgot today that Kevin Durant was no longer on the Nets. Like, that is, he is now on the Phoenix Suns. That is so shocking. That's such a drastic move. We are talking a perennial MVP candidate who really, oh my gosh, talking about going with the wind, he'll blow any which way. Now on the Phoenix Suns, the West is so clustered. Like, it really, the Nuggets are at the top. They kind of are an afterthought because I feel like Nikola Jokic just doesn't get the media attention. And I don't know if it's the time zone or it's just the personality. But the West is so stacked now. The Lakers made a bunch of moves.
You can't forget the Kings. The Kings have been red hot this season as well. Keegan Murray's been outstanding. And the Kings were leading the Pacific. And now you got the Mavs in there. And the Mavs have Kyrie Irving, who was another part of that blockbuster trade deadline. It's crazy to
madness.
Me that Brooklyn's big three, which was Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant.
All gone.
In what? 2 years?
Steve Nash gone. And now they're left with Ben Simmons. It's on, like you cut. It's like there was like a flourishing town. It's the Super Bowl year when it was all of the dot-coms, and then the next year it was the bust, and it was just like a tumbleweed. Ben Simmons is that tumbleweed. And it's a free fall. Like, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't even know who their coach is fully. And they are truly left to pick up the pieces. And I could see in 5 years, maybe them having this sort of miraculous turnaround and they've been able to piece together with all of these draft picks, a team. But it's going to be interesting how long it takes them to recover from this. And is Ben Simmons even going to be in the league next year? Like, it is so bleak, the outlook for him. He played 13 minutes the other night. This is their supposed last all-star.
He's 13 not minutes. On a fantasy team, is he?
He was never on my team.
Okay,
Ben
good.
Simmons
Thank
was
God.
Never on my team.
Thank God.
Russell Westbrook is still on my team.
Who is no longer on the Lakers. And I am so sorry because you were one of the Russ defenders.
And I still am.
We're out there supporting, standing by Russ, and now he is gone. How's it going in your household?
Well, he's still on my fantasy team, so gone. Not to Mather and Mama. CJ is buying copious amounts of on-sale discounted Russ Lakers gear. I did retweet a thread the other day, and it sort of transcended basketball, and it was all of the things that Russell Westbrook has done for his hometown of Los Angeles. And it is so much bigger than basketball, and the way he was treated here is so disgusting, and it actually makes me hate the Lakers, because I know it wasn't the Lakers, it was Lakers fans that I am like, Lakers fans were not nice to me when I was pregnant at a Lakers game, and then they treated my king, Russ, like this, that I know I'm living with a Lakers fan. I despise these people. I find them to be sad, small, loser men.
Wow.
Yep.
That's harsh, especially because your husband, I wouldn't really consider him a Lakers fan.
No, he's a LeBron fan.
Which is a great transition into what we're going to talk about next, and LeBron James and his historic night. We all saw it. It was a week from yesterday, right? Now it was 8 days ago. And I think the moment I saw the outfit that LeBron James wore into the Staples Center, I knew
black on black.
This is the night. This is the night that history was going to happen. It was still, he deserved it entirely. He deserved the celebration and all the fanfare entirely. It was weird to me that after all the celebration, they're like, yeah, we got a game to finish.
And we're going to lose it to the Thunder. Like, yeah, it was definitely like, and there's been a lot made about Anthony Davis sitting there pouting. But it's like, yeah, Anthony Davis is on a team that's like not doing well.
Yeah.
And he's having to sit through a school play about how amazing his teammate is. So, yeah, I'm sure there's probably some frowns going around. I don't know. I really don't know. I was shocked to see Thomas Bryant traded away. The Lakers are just kind of like, we got to do something. And I think they feel good now. My most interesting thing I'm going to be watching, Scottie Pippen Jr. is a part of the Lakers organization right now. He has gotten into a game. I think he goes back and forth between the G League and being on the actual roster. And now his mom's ex-boyfriend is also on the Lakers. Yeah, Malik Beasley and Scottie Pippen Jr. on the same roster, and I'd love that to be a reality show we could follow.
I think we need more Larsa in our lives. She doesn't appear much around NBA games anymore, though.
Because she's filming Real Housewives of Miami. Mm-hmm. And she's dating Michael Jordan's son, so she has a man right now.
What's the age difference?
I think it's like 15 years.
Oh, that's not terrible. We've seen worse.
Oh, it's no Leo.
Yeah, we've definitely seen worse. Well, it is NBA All-Star Weekend. It doesn't really feel like it. I think the placement of the Super Bowl a week later kind of takes away a little bit of tension from the NBA All-Star Weekend. But the number one thing that this podcast is looking forward to is the Antetokounmpo. I already messed it up. We are going to see the brothers in the skills competition. It will be Giannis, Thanis, and what is the other one's name?
Apollo.
Is it Apollo?
I don't know.
I don't think it's Apollo.
I just am saying Greek words.
Two brothers. I spelled it wrong too. Alex. It's Alex. It's Giannis, Thanis, and Alex. They will be in the skills competition. I absolutely love these brothers after watching the Disney movie.
Thanis is my celeb crush. I'm obsessed with him. I love him. I think he is so handsome. His smile on the Bucks bench lights me up. So I hope he wins it all.
Jason Tatum is in the three-point shooting contest along with your boy Tyrese Halliburton as well. So those are just a few little nuggets to get you tuned into the NBA All-Star Weekend. The dunk contest, it's very lackluster.
Who is it?
I honestly, these guys didn't even know what teams they're on.
Okay, great. But so I do like, sometimes I think if they're the no-names, they'll come out really swinging.
They could. They have nothing to lose. I like
You have seen the shirts that were Salt Lake, comma, Utah, which did spell slut. In a season where we've already seen the city jerseys with CLT on it. Really, it goes to show maybe the NBA could employ one woman. Yes. Just to go, hey, here's an idea. Does it spell whore? And her be able to be like, it does, actually.
When I was in college, as student athletes, we had to go to seminars called Cats Learning Together. And so if you took a class that had a lot of student athletes in it, you had to go to these Cats Learning Together meetings where it was basically just like a tutoring session for all of us student athletes. And we used to all call them clits because they spelled out CLT. Yeah. And then now I connect in Charlotte a lot and it's CLT airport. So I always chuckle, and that shows you my sense of maturity.
Okay, so we are looking forward to All-Star Weekend. It's always fun. There's always, like, fun outfits or people doing silly things. It is also always on my birthday. My birthday is on Friday, February 17th. It is also the GOAT, Michael Jordan's birthday. So make sure you wish myself and MJ and Paris Hilton a happy birthday. Now, I really want to just drive home that last week my husband was out of town. I was taking care of my child alone. This week it is my birthday week. Before we get into our next segment, which is college basketball. Now, I don't want to talk about all this other stuff. I just want to get it over with. Purdue and Northwestern played on Sunday. Some would call it the appetizer to the Super Bowl. And Purdue was number one in the country, and they did lose. And I know Megan has things to say about it.
First of all, I just want you to know that this is not personal. Uh-huh. And second of all, I also think, of course, when Northwestern is going to have a historic program win, a win that can attract recruits, a win that is on national television. I mean, it was on FS1 or Big Ten. Yeah, it was on FS1 or Big Ten Network. Big Ten Network, it was definitely on that. Of course, it happens on a day when not a lot of people are watching college basketball. So that's like a little jab at Northwestern. But as somebody who would go to just about every Northwestern men's basketball team when we were the bottom of the Big Ten, this was unbelievable for me to see. Now, Megan, I was like one of five students that used to go to Northwestern basketball fans. I was there so much, the only people I'd watch it with were the middle-aged men who were boosters, who were still Northwestern super fans. So the fact that this was a sold-out game, they were turning away students at the door, the lowest cost of a ticket to get in was $200, that just makes my purple heart grow bigger and bigger and bigger, because watching this at home, I could not believe the student support. And obviously Purdue has Zach Edey, who is our Canadian king as a podcast. We love Zach Edey. He is going to win the Wooden Award. As I mean, unless something crazy happens.
Asian, but 7'4". Wow. Legend. Legend in the Tola Ding Dong house.
This win for Northwestern fans was phenomenal. Honestly, I got a little bit emotional watching it because something like this has never happened in Northwestern history. This is their first time they've ever beat a number one ranked team, ever. This is a program that has only gone to the tournament one time. Any school that's not even a basketball school has been to the tournament more times than Northwestern has. This is a coach, Chris Collins, who I was calling for his job. Me, among all of the other Northwestern fans were calling for Chris Collins' job. They were projected to finish last in the Big Ten. And by beating Purdue, they punched their ticket to the tournament. This will be the second time ever that Northwestern is dancing. And I just want to point out, at the beginning of the season, Northwestern
pointed
athletic
out
director,
so many things.
But Northwestern athletic director gave Chris Collins an ultimatum. And now that win, that gives them like five more years.
Yeah, which is maybe not what you want. My rebuttal is that Purdue is traditionally really bad in the tournament. Good during the regular season, bad during the tournament. So I'm hoping these losses to Northwestern, IU, these fluke losses will help right them, get their mentality good for the Big Ten tournament and heading into March Madness, because I do not want them to lose in the Sweet 16 like they do every single year. So make this loss
learning. Every single year. Like if Northwestern went to the Sweet 16, I would be crying.
Megan, what do I have? What do I have? What do I have?
You have team. What do I have? I have the White Sox and Northwestern. And now the
Magic. And the Patriots. And the 90s Bulls. I've got nothing, okay? This is all I have, and I don't even have it because sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about Purdue because I live so far away and no one from Purdue lives in Los Angeles. So let me just have my now number two ranked team and feel good about them, okay?
You can have your Canadian king, Zach Edey, and he's going to win the Wooden Award, minus 1,400. And college basketball is fully back. This is when we dive in, 4 weeks from Selection Sunday. This is when we do our studying for our brackets. I would like to point out to everybody that tonight there is a game between Marquette and Xavier, and there is excellent guard play. And what do we know about guard play? Guard play goes a long way in March. So we got to scout this game. We got to get on it. And I'm going to give you all three teams that I like this week. Three teams. And I wrote this yesterday, so it might change a little bit. I loved Creighton heading into this week. They were on an 8-game win streak.
You always love a team like Creighton. Some weird name. Well, where is Creighton? South Carolina?
Omaha, Nebraska?
Sure.
Omaha! They were on an 8-game win streak, lost last night in double overtime to Providence. I also really like Ohio State. This is a team that's turning it on right now, and Baylor has been outstanding. They had a huge jump in the rankings this past week, jumping up 9 spots after beating TCU. Stay away from TCU. Their guard is injured, and Oklahoma. The Big 12 is loaded. So
Baylor, also home of Chip and Joanna Gaines. So a lot to celebrate down there in Texas. Okay, I think we've covered so much today. Not everybody thought we were going to get to college basketball, but boy, did you make sure we did.
We had to. It's college basketball season. You guys.
I know.
We have Tennessee playing Alabama tonight. Tennessee's favored by 3. Alabama's the number one ranked team in the country. What is not to get excited about? We have the Super Bowl and then March. Amazing.
Yeah. I think I got to get a Purdue shirt. That is all we have for you this week, my birthday week. Please make sure you congratulate me on making it to my 37th year on Friday. Wow.
Who's your favorite athlete with 37?
Oh, you're going to need to give me some time on that. I don't know. I'll let you guys know next week.
All right, next week. And actually, we are going dark next week. I think this is a good time to tell all of our listeners that we will be taking the week off. The whole network will be taking the week off. But when we come back in 2 weeks, we're going to give you guys a little treat to celebrate Megan's birthday and to celebrate all of you. We will be doing our 80 for Brady review, so make sure you tune into that. Megan, it's always a pleasure. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
We love you, all of us here. And we love all of you, our listeners. We will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye.